The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. The bad day, the broken day, the bad apple, the bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad, not a bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live at the Ferrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny stole all my lozenges and gummy bears because she was drinking vino in New York City. Ooh, the Big Apple. People dressed in plastic bags, they're ready to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, she do be all my friends come around, flies and fly to patio, rats on the west side, bedbugs up down. What a mess, the sounds out of my brain, just flattered all over Manhattan, she do be shake out. Ooh, it's Ferrell with Carver High tonight. So, I guess the thing that I wanted to start off with was the, at the very least, the very few games that are going on in sports. The Islanders got their game in today, right? And they lost in overtime. But the Lightning are just killing the Bruins. The last time I checked after two periods, it was 6-1. And then it just started the third. And then the Avs and Stars are going to play. Is that right? Is that who's playing tonight?
Yeah, as so. Of now, they are playing.
All right, so the one thing I wanted to say was is that today... Oh, here we go with this chick again in my room. What did I say?
I guess when you said Avs. I don't know. Maybe.
That's unbelievable. So anyway, thing that I wanted to talk about was is that on Coast to Coast, I said that to you, we were having the conversation. I said, look, if the Lightning can score four goals on Halak per game, they're going to win the series. It's just that simple because in my view, look at tonight. They were up 3-0, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1. At 4-1, they pulled Halak and brought in some kid from the minors. He got just his NHL debut, he got his onion split in half on a breakaway goal by points, so it's bad.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up later, our boy Jonesy, Paul Jones, Raptors Radio, coming up in, I don't know, a few minutes. Let's put it that way. So here's the deal. Did I not talk to you today about the Lightning? I mean, I'm not even trying to be all like smarty pants here, but it's so obvious to me that when they broke through in overtime and won the game on the Palat goal that made it 4-3, right, is that the magic number. I thought to myself, how do you beat the Bruins? Because they're a really good team. And without Rask, they're vulnerable. I don't care what anybody says. Like, tonight they're yanking Halak, which 4-1, okay, that's seven fine.
Now.
Well, it's 7-1 now, but they yanked him at 4 for the yes. Kid never played in the league before. His first game is in a Stanley Lidar. Cup. Semi game 3. It's just unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, I heard Ed Olczyk say it's because, you know, and Doc Emrick, that maybe he needs some rest because he's what is he, 37? And
yeah, and he played yesterday, and now he's playing again tonight.
What a are you kidding me? And I was just gonna draw. I was gonna draw him. Listen, I don't understand that at all. Like, most goalies that I know, and including Halak, when he played for the Islanders, right? Did he not play every night? Like, yeah, what is this?
That, you know, that was a while ago.
Okay, so you're telling me that he needs rest, or you're telling me he was getting lit up? He was getting lit up because he sucks. Well, I'm telling you, that's why they're going to lose this series, is because the Lightning are too good. They shoot too much, they score too much, and they've got a goalie that allows another goal and a half a game over what Rask does. It's that simple. Look,
a lot of people, you know, it's no secret that the Bruins had one of the best backup situations in the NHL this year. There's no doubt about it. And when they split time throughout the regular season, sure, Halak, very capable. You know, the split was pretty much 55-45 in favor of Rask. Halak didn't sit a lot. He played plenty of games. But I think it's a different story when you've put up as much mileage as he has in his career to then start asking him to play every single game. I think it might be a little too much. And it's an easy excuse tonight because on the second night of a back-to-back, which was the situation they were most worried about, he got racked, you know, and he got pulled from the game. So it's easy to say that now. But I just don't think that the workload is there for him every single night. At his age, I don't think it is.
Well, I said to you, not tonight, I said to you at the beginning of the series that did. I didn't trust him. I said that they can beat this guy. I think that it's a different ball game altogether with him in there as opposed to Rask. That's all there is to it. And I think, you know, I am standing by what I have been saying with you since the day we went, and I always go back to the day we went to the game at T-Mobile in Vegas, and I watched Vegas play Tampa, and I said to you, and you said to me, we talked about it for 3.5 hours, that these were the two best teams in the NHL. And we recognized Boston was really good. We recognized Colorado. We recognized the Blues at the time were the Stanley Cup champs. We recognize, the Islanders, Flyers, Penguins were all legit alleged contenders. But the reality was is that we were on Tampa and Vegas as the two best teams. And I stand by that. Going into this series, I said, this is about really no Rask. No Rask means they got, another goal a game that they can pour in because – first of all, the Bruins have the best power play kill. The penalty kill is the best in the league. and they're hard to score on, but they have scored so many power play goals tonight that that's out the window now. They move the puck, literally, I've said it 1,000 times, like the Russian Red Army. They skate in cycles and in droves. They come in like waves in the Pacific Ocean, like, you know, coming right into Surf City, one rolling set after the next, just right off the break. I mean, they have you ever seen anything like how they jump over the blue line in you know, deuces and trios? Like, the whole line goes in at the same time, or two of the three go in at the same time, just spinning off the blue line, flying past defensemen like they're not even there. I mean, you can't even deny it, Carver Hyde. Their speed and the way they attack the zone coming over the blue line is overwhelming. And they're the best team in hockey. In fact, I think they're better than Vegas, and I think they're better than Colorado. I think they're better than everybody. What they need to do is figure out their little deficiencies in the next, you know, rest of the series and the next round, the finals of the conference, and then go to the – if they figure it out in the next, let's say, you know, there's game four coming up, 4, 5, 6, 7, so there's four games left, right? And then you got four more that you got to win – with the possibility of 8 games or, you know, of 7 more games. So there's what, 11 games in total. If they can get their act together in those 11 games, they'll win the Stanley Cup.
I don't disagree with you. Yeah, no, they can absolutely win the cup. And I think you've already started to see a night like tonight helps them, but you've already seen them get past what was their biggest obstacle, which was playing that Columbus team in the style that they play. Cause they can't play that speed game when you're playing that team. Now, I think that they will get through this series against Boston, and we'll see what happens. They're a lot better than I feel roster-wise, definitely, than the Islanders and Philadelphia. But what's the Islanders and Philadelphia going to throw at them? A style kind of like Columbus. So they've seen a lot of Columbus, so they'll be ready for it. Here's the thing. When we saw them, Scotty, in Vegas, they were still that high-flying team, and they have so much skill. And then you look at the pieces that they added at the deadline just after that, after we left Vegas, you know, adding Coleman and adding Goudreau, you know, just guys that are, I think that Cooper said it perfectly last night after the game, guys with a little dirt under their fingernails, you know, guys who play more of a heavier game and a dirtier game, not so much the skill like Kucherov gives you and those guys. So those were really crucial adds for the Lightning, and it's going to help them. And I think that a Lightning Vegas Stanley Cup final would be the most entertaining series that we could get in the final. I don't think Colorado's in big trouble. We know this. We're going to find out here tonight coming up if Colorado is going to have any juice left in them, if they can win a game against. But I don't think that Colorado's on the level, even before all this happened with Dallas, then Vegas and Tampa. I think that those are the two best teams.
So Palat scored first power play almost 13 minutes into the game. And then 15 seconds later, they scored again. Gord on just an absolutely beautiful drag across the crease and top shelf snapper. He just dragged it across the goalie right in front of his face saying, I'm going to score on you now, so there's nothing you can do about it. Snap right up top. I mean, literally off the roof of the net. And then Sergachev scored on a power play, and that was 2 minutes into the second. It's 3-0. Marchand scored on a power play, made it 3-1. Then Killorn on a power play at 8.5 minutes. And then Braden Point made it 5-1 when he skated in all alone. Sergachev and Killorn on the assists at 15.5, basically. And at 18, Killorn scored again, Bogosian and Gord. Here's the deal. Killorn's had an incredible game and a couple goals, an assist, at least one assist. And then, Kucherov scored to make it 7-1 from Point. Point's had a huge game. The goal, two assists at least. Kucherov has got multiple points in this game, multiple assists in this game. He's got 3 assists in this game that I've already seen. Gord's had an incredible game. The goal, assists, I mean, 7-1. This is a pasting. Have you ever seen, the triple paste that you use on, like, Olivia or whatever, if she's got, like, a rash on her tuchus?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
That's the kind of the butt pasting that the Bruins are getting tonight from the Lightning is the same triple paste that you use on butt rash. So I don't know how you live it down. I really don't know how you recover from this. I know people say wash it off and go play again and forget about it. Forget about it. Listen, I don't know if anyone will be able to keep them under 4 goals for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean it.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell with you. Jonesy's back on. Paul Jones, Raptors Radio. Always fun to have Jonesy on, even under trying circumstances. How you doing, Jonesy?
I'm good. I'm good, Pharrell. I'm good, man. Always good to be on with you, man.
Hey, so let me start with this. I guess in some capacity or another, have you heard anything about your game tomorrow?
Talked to somebody like literally 5 minutes ago who said it's still no decision yet, from what I understand. Things kind of still on standby in that matter. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I feel like the Raptors were the first ones to talk about the possibility of a boycott yesterday. And Fred VanVleet was the first one to mention, you know, the owner, Mr. Lazary, and the owner of the Bucks, not by name, but, you know, the concept. And then you get this today, and you get that great statement being read jointly between Sterling Brown and George Hill. Like, it's the guys have had enough. The guys have had enough. And, you know, they want change. And this is like they're throwing another rock through the window. Like, hey, like, let's fix this. We want change. We're out here. We want change.
So, you know, I was on TV today with A. Sherrod Blakely, covers the Celtics at NBC Boston. And I said to him, what did you think of what happened to Masai Ujiri? And we got into this long conversation about how awful that scene was at the finals. What did you think of it? Like, can you even believe, like, the thing that bothers me about it is that, I'll be honest with you, like, the cops in Alameda, they actually are still standing by this guy. Like,
yes,
that he didn't do it.
Yes.
Like that he didn't do it. And we all watched him do it.
And Pharrell, that's the thing. You're so right. Like, the tweet from the Alameda County Sheriff's Department was, we still stand by our statement that Masai Ujiri was the aggressor. Well, we in Toronto here, especially, we got two different angles of Masai coming down out of the stands and being pushed. And with the body cam footage, it looks like he wasn't even near the guy the second time. He went to somebody else to say, I'm the president of the Raptors, and the guy pushes him again. Like, and I guess what it proves is people are willing to lie to perpetuate what they feel is the truth. I mean, that's I don't know how they can say that. I don't know how they can say that. And the officer to claim back then that it was Masai that assaulted him and he had to be off work. And this is it's preposterous.
It really is. You know, and the funny thing is that, I mean, how unbelievable. You can't even make this up on a Lifetime chick movie that this guy, we all watched him shoving him and treating him just horrifically. And it was so painfully obvious that it was a power tripping cop with a black man, and he just wasn't having it. And he just absolutely went off on him. And there is no two ways around it. And then to sit there and listen to this guy lie through his teeth about the entire thing before we ever saw it. We never saw the footage.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Roll That Beautiful Bean footage, Jake. Remember when the dog with the baked beans?
Right.
Roll That Beautiful Footage.
Right.
So here's the deal. We see the footage of it happening, and then the police still support the guy and lying through their teeth. Like, absolutely. It's so embarrassing to me. I think that, honestly, I firmly believe that they literally the entire brass and the cop from Alameda County should all be fired. I mean, automatic.
Well, I think what's being exposed here with everything. I mean, I just went back and looked at the Eric Garner and Michael Brown situations,
right,
that were 5-6 years ago in 2014. Neither of those had charges laid. I mean, out of court settlements, but neither of them had charges laid.
Right.
And in the case of Eric Garner, the New York police officer was just fired last year. Like, so he was, I guess he was still working. These guys now that with Jacob Blake, they're on administrative leave. So basically they're off at home collecting their paycheck. And I think what has been exposed here is the fact that the system protects them. And that's what needs to change. If Pharrell goes out and shoots somebody and fires his gun, they arrest his butt and put him in jail. And then, okay, we're not sure what happened, but you're staying here till we find out.
Right.
We'll do an investigation, but you're under arrest for, you know, firing your gun and, you know, potentially attempted murder or manslaughter or, you know, discharging a weapon illegally, or there's some charge laid against you, and they throw you up and they lock you up until you make bail. And even when you get out, they're tracking you, and there's nothing's happened to these other people. Breonna Taylor, nothing's happened in that situation.
You're right.
You know, the whole George Zimmerman thing, like, he got off. Like, the system is protecting people the wrong way. And that's the first place to start. That's the first place to start.
So, Jonesy, tell me what happened, just because you know more than me. So what is Masai doing in terms of, like, it turned into like a legal battle, right? Like, so am I wrong in that he's suing them back because of all their lying and BS that everyone knows? Like, there isn't, I don't know how in God's name a lawyer can have that footage and not win that case. I really don't know.
I don't know what the depth of it is for all, but there is a countersuit. And the bottom line for Masai is saying, I have the means and the resources to launch a countersuit. What about the people that this happens to, where law enforcement's word is taken as gospel, and they don't have, you know, the resources, the means to launch a countersuit? And they're well, maybe in some instances, wrongfully convicted or locked up or whatever. I mean, look, we all had questions about what happened with Masai and this officer. Masai said he was shoved. This guy said, no, he shoved me first. Nobody knew until the cam footage came out. Now we're pretty sure what happened. And we, as you said, we still have lies on the other side trying to perpetuate what they feel is the truth.
So if you were on the Raptors, like, as a player right now, and you went to this meeting tonight with all your peers, and then the Board of Governors is going to meet tomorrow, it would appear to me, in the league. Do you feel, as a player, let's say you were hypothetically, you were a player, Jonesy, would you think that the best alternative to this thing, to get the most impact out of it, the protest, the boycott, whatever you want to call it, that they would it would benefit them the most if they literally just shut the whole thing down and everybody went home? Or do you think they can accomplish what they want to accomplish in terms of They have gotten the national attention from every TV outlet and the Wall Street Journal, you name it. It's all over the world what's happening in sports today because of the NBA, because of the Bucks. It started with the Bucks, and then it just trickled down from there. If you were on, like, the Raptors as a player, would you think the best decision right now would be to let it go at the 2 days of no games or to pack it up and go home?
I mean, look, the age I am now, I guess I look at it through a different prism. As a 24, 25, 26, a 30-year-old, I might say, no, I'm not playing anymore, because I know for a fact some of the guys did not want to go. Some of the Raptors did not want to go. And it was, okay, look, if the team's going, I'm with my guys. But if you're leaving it up to me, I'd rather not play. There are bigger things than basketball. And, you know, Doc Rivers said it well, Pharrell, when he said, we can still fight for justice and do our jobs. And I guess what I'm afraid of is that it becomes pedestrian. It becomes kind of commonplace. Like, they made a big show with Black Lives Matter and the t-shirts and the stuff on the court and all that. And then people became desensitized to it. Norman Powell said it yesterday in his media availability with the Toronto media. He says, I got Black Lives Matter on the banner behind me. It's on the court. Norman says, we've got t-shirts, but he goes, nothing's being done. So like I said, when we started this conversation, Pharrell, they've thrown another rock through the window. They've thrown another egg at the car to get attention. But what happens when that attention starts to fade? Like, now, what do you have left? If you've given up your platform, then what? So, I mean, I think a couple days, my own feeling would be a couple days, back it up a little bit, then go back and play and keep beating the bushes and pounding the drum about, you know, justice for Jacob Blake, justice for Breonna Taylor, like, justice for Ahmaud Arbery. Like, go back and pound it and do what the Bucks have done. Call for the legislature to reconvene. Look, the best boycott ever was the Montgomery, Alabama bus boycott, because they hit the bus company where it hurts, in the wallet, and the black people that boycotted the buses were still able to work because white folks were picking them up to take them to the house so they could have the chores done, look after the kids, do the cooking and cleaning and maintain the house. And the bus company is saying, man, you're killing me. And they're saying, well, look, we need this work done. So, yeah, we're going to drive them. Mm. So, you know, to me, you need that kind of a protest or a boycott, Pharrell.
Hey, Jonesy, hold that thought. I want to talk more about it, and I want to get into the series with the Celtics, because I hope they play it. I think the Raptors are phenomenal. We're talking with Paul Jones. Jonesy, Raptors Radio on a bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Paul Jones, Jonesy, Raptors Radio. Hey, Jonesy, the thing that I wanted to say was, you know, we talked about how 2 days of protest, whatever it turns out being, and that they're, you know, desensitized to the shirts and the logos and the banners around the arenas and on the floor and all this other stuff. And then, you know, what happens when that phase of being desensitized kicks in? I'll tell you what happens. More black kids get shot by cops. That's what happens. It just keeps happening, and it happened again. And when I saw that thing happen, I was like, I cannot believe that this is still happening. What is going on where it's like every month, every couple weeks, it's just unbelievable. And then I'm sitting here watching conventions, Democrats, Republicans, you know, gallivanting around that there's no racism in this country. Are you kidding me? Like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, how do you not see the rampant racism and just absolute, it's like the Colorado River, it's raging so bad. And then to not acknowledge it is embarrassing to me. It's almost like you start to be shameful of being from here. I mean, I think it's a problem all over the world, but it's really bad here. And people act like it's not, like these politicians and these, honestly, it's embarrassing.
I agree, Pharrell. It's time for a change, brother. It is. And it's all people are saying. I mean, Doc Rivers' impassioned plea yesterday was, you know, like, it just, how about a little love back? You know, Sam Mitchell said today on the air here in Canada that when there's a war going on, we're all Americans. Black, white, indigenous, men, women, there's no separation. We're all Americans. He said, then the war's over, and we fought to kind of preserve ourselves, and we come back home, and now the division starts. It's the system's got to change, and right now some of the police unions and you know the policies and procedures are protecting people when that shouldn't happen. That's what I think needs to change. Like I said, if you fired your weapon at somebody and you hurt somebody, they'd put you in jail while they were investigating and trying to figure it out. You'd have lawyers, and there'd be a pending trial and disclosures and all this stuff. People are still walking free after doing this stuff, and the body cams and the cameras are proving it. They're proving what the problem is, and you know, like, look at you and I here talking about this. We should be talking about a great basketball series that's going to happen that we've been looking forward to for 3 years between Boston and Toronto.
Right. So here's what I'm hearing right now. Carver High just gave me the news that the Lakers and Clippers, according to sources, have both voted to end the season, but that the remaining teams, for the most part, all want to continue with the season and playoffs, allegedly. What I'm hearing is Lakers, Clippers voted to end it all completely, and then LeBron James allegedly left the meeting. He walked right out. That was the end of him. So he's not in there anymore. And I don't know if it's still going on. It's at 10:45 Eastern. I know it was a 8 o'clock alleged meeting. I don't know how it is playing out, but I know that that's what I'm hearing. So let's say that the Raptors and Celtics play this series. And let's say it takes a few days to get it going now with all this that's going on. How much does it benefit Kyle Lowry? As much as I would say the same thing about Westbrook for the Rockets, that the time might be of a benefit to the both clubs. Lowry's so important to the Raptors. I don't care what anybody says. Like, without him, I understand the bench is incredible. Powell's incredible. Van Vliet is just absolutely surreal incredible. But that team ticks. I think the heart of the team, the actual organ, the heart of the team is Lowry.
Yeah, I agree. And they can't win without him. I shouldn't say that. They would have a very difficult time winning without him. They were good without him this year in the regular season. I think they were 12-2. And everybody else's numbers went up. Powell, Van Vliet, Siakam, everybody's numbers went up. But I don't know if you can win a series over Boston without all hands on deck. And, you know, Kyle's the kind of guy you're going to have to hold him hostage to get him off the floor. If he was a football player, you'd take his helmet. and I don't know what the equivalent is in basketball to keep him off the floor. But, I think the Raptors, maybe I'm too close to the trees to see the whole forest, but I think I'd give them a slight edge over Boston. I would look forward to a great series though, with the matchup on the wings, the coaching matchup between two great tacticians. I mean, Pharrell, there's no crowd in the bubble. So you want those guys that if you were playing pickup on the blacktop on Sunday afternoon to 7, you'd pick those guys. And there's a lot of guys like that I'd pick in this series. I'd pick Lowry. I'd pick Van Vliet. I'd pick Marc Gasol, the old man at the Y that doesn't jump but can kill you, knows how to play.
That's Marcus Pharrell. Smart. That's Pharrell. You have no idea how much I play, Jonesy. I play in the hood on Saturday and Sunday on the street, and then I just ravage my body, and I'm playing with like literally 90% brothers. They're hanging on the rim with their onions in my face. And then I play Tuesdays and Thursdays with all these like D1 and high school legends from the area that are all still able to stick it from anywhere, just absolutely sticking J's. And I'm running up and down. I'm 55 years old. I can score at will on anybody. It don't matter what race you are. I can light it up. But the body, Jonesy, I'm playing on the street. I'm like, I literally got I have peeled toes. I have bloody toes. I got knees hurt. I got hips hurt. I got shoulder blades hurt. It is the playing on the streets, the one that kills me. When I play indoors, like I play tomorrow morning at 6:45, and it's just an hour and 30-minute rage, and it's just up and down, and it's just incredible. But it's when you play outside that it's brutal on the body. It's brutal on the body. But let me ask you this question. When you see this team, the Raptors, without Kawhi, I'm brazen enough to say this. And I know it sounds crazy, I think they're better. I think this team has like cohesively realized he's gone and gotten better. I think, you know, everything about him, their bench is better. I think their coach has gotten better, because when he was there, it was just, you had Kawhi, it was easy. He made everyone around him look better than they were. And then all of a sudden he's gone. And I think Nurse took his game to another level. I know Van Vliet did. I mean, that's just obvious. Powell did. I think Pascal did. I think Ibaka did. I think there's a lot of reasons why. And Lowry, even, I thought he went up like 5-7 points, and his game, a couple more steals, a couple more dimes, a couple more rebounds. Everything from everyone got better. I think the team actually got better. I think they're a tougher team right now than they were with him.
Well, to your point, they were 17-5 last year when he was out of the lineup. And even when he was in the lineup, you're right, they gave him the ball. But when he went to the bench, Nick Nurse's philosophy on offense is when you get the ball, drive it, shoot it, pass it. Don't hold it. One of those three. And drive, kick, swing. If it doesn't work, do it again. Drive, kick, swing. Under those concepts of when you catch it, shoot it, pass it, drive it, do not hold it. And those things combined give them a great team. And that's the way they played when Kawhi was not on the floor. And that's why it's so easy for them to bump it up a notch and play this way this year when he's not here at all. You look at it, they have different guys that'll lead the scoring. One night it's Kyle, one night it's Pascal, one night it's Fred. Serge Ibaka's been out of his mind this year. So they are, in the true sense of the word, they are an excellent team, and they don't have Kawhi Leonard, and they realize it. And Van Vliet and Lowry went to Nurse at the start of the year and says, okay, no Kawhi, that means there's 15, 20 shots to be taken. Let's divvy them up, and let's see who's got the hot hand that night, and that guy will get all those shots.
So if they stop, and I mean this, if they shut down, it sounds impossible, but if they literally found a way, and literally that was their only thought in life, was to shut down Tatum, and I mean harass him until there were no fouls left. I honestly believe down the line on the bench, literally, if they harass him enough to knock him off his game, because he is good for, in my opinion, this guy's good for 30 a night now. And if you can shut him down, which sounds impossible, but, you know, you see all these guys going off, Mitchell, all of them, Murray going off, Tatum going off, Siakam going off, Van Vliet going off. They need to shut him down. If they shut him down and make him like a 15 to 17 point guy, the Raptors will annihilate the Celtics.
Well, look, Nick Nurse has the great defensive philosophies and schemes. So if the series does get played, it'll be interesting to see. Same way they handled Giannis last year. They did a pretty good job in the finals on Curry and Thompson. I'd love to see them go at it, and they are up for the challenge.
I think they're capable of winning it all again.
No question. No question, Pharrell. They are. And Look, Jeff Van Gundy told us on our local radio show here, they have the guys that are tough and are talented. And sometimes it's rare in the NBA that you find a guy with both of them, and they've got a few of them. You find a guy who's tough and doesn't know what he's doing, or a guy that's talented that doesn't really want it. And as my, you know, I talked to my brother Mark, and he said, man, the Raptors have the perfect body in that sense. They've got a chip on each shoulder, championship experience, and a willingness to prove it again, because people don't believe us. So I would love to see the series be played, but look, as we have been talking about for the last 20 minutes, Pharrell, sometimes there's stuff bigger than basketball.
No, there isn't. No, there isn't. There's nothing bigger than basketball, Jonesy. I know you're right, but I refuse to believe it. Here's another thing for you. So when I come home from balling, Jonesy, like 34C will always say to me, or my kid Chop, the girl, she plays AAU ball. She's really good. She'll say, how did it go today? And I always tell them the same thing every time. I scored 1,000 points.
I was giving it to him, right? I was serving him like a waiter, right?
Listen, I scored 1,000 points. There's not a shot I won't take. Honestly, deep corners, wings, elbows, underneath, reverses, mini hooks, pump fakes, scoops, shovels, downtown, uptown, midtown, crosstown. I'll shoot from everywhere, Jonesy. I scored 1,000 points. How'd you do today? I scored 1,000 points. When I lose, I've lost 9 championship games. We've won 8, lost 9. When I lose, they say, how'd you lose? I said, I don't know, but I still scored 1,000. Jonesy, I got to go. I love you, brother. You're the best. Good luck with the series. I hope they play.
Yeah, good to be on with you, Pharrell. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
All right, stay well, buddy. I'll be in touch. That's our boy Jonesy, Paul Jones, Raptors Radio. He's cool. I love that dude. It's Pharrell on the bench. We set the standard. Chicks dig me. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So here's the deal. So Carver, I just told me the reports are coming in left and right that LeBron and he stood up, the whole Lakers team, voted against continuing at all, and so did the Clippers at all. They don't want to play at all. They're done. And then Udonis Haslam of the Heat allegedly stood up in a meeting and said, if we don't have the Lakers and Clippers, what do we have? And then every other team in the league voted to continue except the Lakers and Clippers, and then the Lakers and Clippers both got up, the whole team, and walked out of the meeting. So you've got the, let's just call it the LeBron faction. Right. That's what that is. That's the LeBron faction, even though they're sworn enemies of the state in competitive nature. They, you know, they can't stand each other competitively, but they share a building and they share a city, even though the Lakers own Los Angeles. But the bottom line is they both got up together in concert and left, and they won out. They're done playing basketball. They don't want to play basketball anymore at all. And LeBron allegedly wants the owners to be more involved in change. That is a dramatic ask in terms of what exactly do you want these old billionaires to do? What do you want them to do? Buy somebody off, get cops fired, you know, sue governments. What do you want them to do? So here's the deal. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I don't believe that. You know, I think what they did was a dynamic protest and boycott, a very influential moment in NBA history that happened on this day. So you'll remember it. This will never be forgotten that this happened. But I also don't believe, I really don't believe that it'll stop cops from harassing black kids and blacks, adults, men, women. I don't think it'll be the end of, you know, cops shooting blacks. It's been happening consistently and regularly forever. And I think that because I'm not going to play NBA games, it's going to stop that. I don't think so.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.